12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon, covering a lot of different things around Douglas County. County Commissioner Chris Boyce, Ian, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, always glad to be here. Thanks for having me again, Kyle.
So I know there have been a lot of things going on related to parks. We've talked about things recently, in the past few months anyway, over on the coast. But I guess today, talk about some inland things. Wanted to start off, though, with the aspect of what's gone on at River Forks Park. And we talked about that in a story a few days ago, but what's that been like to watch as it evolves?
You know, the River Forks Park project is an important one because we had a significant piece of, you know, playground structure out there that had been there for a very long time, was very popular, was very beloved in the community, in the old wooden fort that just became, so old and unsafe that we had to shut the thing down. And, you know, there was a community reaction from that and some question and speculation about whether or not we would rebuild that structure and the historical significance of it within the park and just what it meant to our community. But ultimately, that type of structure really isn't ideal for the park system. So the decision was made to remove that and replace it with something more modern and more usable to the kids, safer sort of thing. And that project was recently just completed, and we're very pleased with the way it turned out.
And that's really kind of the second phase. I mean, you had other things out there that had also aged out in the past few years that needed to be replaced as well, because that park is so popular and gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah, and that includes, you know, the restroom facilities. The Whistler's Bend project's been going on, the River Forks project's been going on for several years, as you mentioned. And, you know, it started with a Rotary Club project out there with the new handicapped accessible playground that we put in, and then replacement restrooms for the aging ones that were there. And then this new play structure sort of caps off what we have planned out there for the immediate future. And it's been nice to be able to get the thing sort of back up to snuff.
You know, it's interesting, as I've got to travel around a little bit the last few years, parks really can make a community or make an area when you see that a significant amount of land has been set aside. Sometimes it's just in a neighborhood. Sometimes it's, in the case of River Forks, it's along a river, versus areas that don't have parks. And it's just, you know, houses and businesses and nothing to, nowhere to really go out, walk around and enjoy things.
Yeah, and River Forks certainly is utilized for that. It's a significant place for our community. You know, there's a lot of events that happen out there. And things that used to happen in the past that were significant that we're not doing anymore, like the duck race, for example. Used to be the Rotary Club duck race, used to be at River Forks Park, and the car show and shines. We hope to have them back in the near future. And just so many company picnics at the pavilion out there, and just a great place to be. And even not too long ago, you know, a significant member of the community had passed away, and we used the park. They used the park for parking and shuttle to get to Cooper Ridge Vineyard, where the memorial service was held. So it's definitely an important piece of infrastructure for our community, and it's been a pleasure to sort of invest in that and rehab it. And of course, we know right now it's being set up and open for the Festival of Lights, which everyone looks forward to going to every year. It's just a great place.
So that, and by the way, we'll be opening Sunday night. We'll talk more about that in a couple of segments tomorrow. Well, I know that you've got some inland projects, pretty large size, coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and you know, this is sort of the culmination of a very long plan. You know, when I became a commissioner 9 years ago, we were spending a ton of money out of reserves. We had to make a tough political decision to start charging day use fees at county parks, really just to keep all of them open. And that was a temporary plan. It was designed to generate some revenue to be used to match available grant funds to invest in infrastructure that people were willing to pay for to support the system. Most of that investment was done over at the coast. One of the first projects that we did, though, was actually out at Whistler's Bend, where we put in some RV spaces out there. But then the focus shifted to the coast and Umpqua Dunes acquisition and rehabilitation and a bunch of other projects over there sort of to bolster the income into the park system. And now that we've, I'm not going to say we're done over there, but now that we've completed several projects over there, it's exciting for Mark. And when I say Mark, I mean Mark Wall, the parks director, is doing a great job. It's exciting for Mark and I to be able to shift our focus to the inland parks. And with the support of the other commissioners, we've developed a plan to continue to invest in Whistler's Bend. We have one of, if not the most renowned disc golf courses in the country out there. We plan to invest heavily in that park, and we're going to put in some asphalt and a new pavilion out there to be utilized by the disc golfers and other members of the public, and to pave the upper loop. And it's just going to be a much nicer place to be when we finish this round of rehab.
You know, it's interesting. Back in the summer, when I was coming back from the Sasquatch event in Glide, I decided to do something I hadn't done in I don't know how many years. But I took North Bank Road, came around, out of Glide, and ended up back out north of Wilbur out there. And I hadn't probably been on that road in 10 or 15 years. It's just not normally part of my route. And it was interesting because when you come along Whistler's Bend, you really get such a different take on that park than you do just sort of noticing it as you're going by on the other highway.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm fortunate enough to get a bird's eye perspective because I'm a pilot, have an airplane. I fly out there often, and it's just a gem no matter how you look at it.
So you've got that going on now in a couple of phases, right?
Yeah, we've got a couple phases planned. The first phase for Whistler's Bend is going to include paving the upper park. We're going to replace some of the single vault restrooms that are down there. And Kyle, these things in the day use area are so old that I don't think some people even realize that they're restrooms. They're little green shacks that almost look more like an electrical box or something than a bathroom. Those are going to get replaced with new ADA accessible restrooms down in the day use area. The upper campground is going to get new asphalt throughout the loop, and including the RV spaces, paving of the parking area there for the disc golf course, and resurfacing of the lower parking lot, and then the pavilion that we're talking about building up there by the parking lot for the disc golf course is going to be fantastic.
And obviously this comes at a large price tag, but you recently announced a state grant, and those things obviously are very important to develop things like this.
Right, and we've been fortunate enough to have parks directors who are very aggressive at pursuing these grant opportunities, and then also the revenue within the park system to use as matching funds for these grants. This particular grant is a $490,000 grant that we got from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department to start the beginning of this two-phase rehab of the park.
And I know that applying for those, I mean, a lot of paperwork is involved, and you've got to go through a long list of things they're looking for, meet a lot of very specific criteria in order to be considered. And there's normally, just about all the time, a lot of other cities, counties that are you're competing with.
They're very, very highly competitive, that's for sure. And one of the things that has helped us is that we've got great staff within the Parks Department that are very thorough, including the Parks Director, but also his staff, in looking for these grants and filling out the applications. And of course, everyone that we get through, the more experienced we become. And the fact that we've utilized the money well. We just had the Oregon Parks board on a tour of our coastal facilities, and they got to go and see all the projects that we use the money for. And when they can actually see the utilization of the funds turn into, you know, projects on the ground that are being utilized by the public today, and they see that we're serious about what we're using the money to invest in, makes a pretty big difference.
All right, more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. We'll talk about Mercy Foundation and the Festival of Trees with Lisa Platt on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Chris Boyce in. We're talking about parks projects around Douglas County. We kind of worked our way through the Whistler's Bend project. Anything else we need to cover there?
So two things that I think are important for folks to know about the Whistler's Bend project. Something that we didn't talk about. The phase one projects focus on the lower campground and the new restrooms or the lower day use area. Phase two is the upper campground paving, but the part we've left out is that there's going to be some of the camp spaces up there that currently aren't full hookup converted to full hookup. So when we get done, there'll be paving up there in the upper campground and more full hookup spaces than we have available. And something that is also a bonus, and this is just a testimony to our area and the innovative people that we have here and the great things that we do in our community. But there's some special needs around putting restrooms down in that local area because of floodway concerns. And so we actually have a local company. They're out in Glide, who we were able to utilize to have a special design made to accommodate the needs of those restrooms, and that's RomTech Incorporated. So special shout out to them. Appreciate them being able to help us. We were able to use a local engineering firm on the design with IE Engineering. We try as hard as we can to keep these monies local and use local companies where we can, and this is an example of two different opportunities in one project where we were able to do that. And so we're grateful for that opportunity and grateful to have local talent here to be able to help on these projects.
So it sounds like they're designed in such a way that if you do have some flood issues or whatever, it's not going to decimate the building. It's going to be, you're going to have to clean it up, but then you're going to be okay.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Talk about other parks projects that are coming up.
Good. So the next one that I'm really excited about, and this one is sort of long overdue, is going to be down in Canyonville at Stanton Park. So, you know, Stanton Park is a nice situated alongside the freeway. It's way outdated as far as the RVs and stuff that are on the road today. We were the recipients of a $650,000 grant for this phase one project, and it came from the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and it's going to be a big deal when that gets done. So basically what's going to happen, folks that utilize that park will know, the road going through the park that the RVs are pulled on is narrow, the camping spaces are short, and the electrical facilities are way outdated and not really designed for today's RVs. Most RVs today use a 50 amp service. So the project includes sort of a whole revamping of the upper campground with a wider road, longer sites, more pull-through sites, and a complete revamping of the electrical infrastructure to put in new 50-amp services at all the sites. It's going to be very, very nice when we're done.
So is that something to tackle for next spring and summer?
I believe that the construction on that does start this coming spring. I'm not sure of the timeline. But I know that the money's been secured and we're in the design phase of that project. It sounds like maybe as soon as this coming spring is when we're going to start working on that.
Well, being right by the freeway, that gets a lot of interest and it's a nice looking facility, but a lot of times it does look a little bit like it's stuck in the 70s.
It does, and people that come in to utilize it, you know, it's not ideal for them. It's still very highly utilized, but you know, the casinos down in Canyonville, and the tribe has an RV park that's first class along the other side of the freeway there. Our facility has great freeway visibility and also river access, being situated right between the freeway and the river. The river access is a real plus for our park, but it needs to be nicer. It needs to complement the things that are going on in Canyonville, and it's going to be that way when we're done, something that Canyonville will be really proud to have down in their community.
Now, I know you, along with all these parks, you work on a number of other things. Talk about something you did recently with Roseburg Forest Products.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing, and that was sort of in the economic development realm. But Roseburg Forest Products came to me months and months ago and said, you know, we want to make this huge investment in Douglas County, and we've looked at, you know, incentives that the state has to offer. And there's this one program called the SIP, stands for Strategic Investment Program, that the state offers that we believe we qualify for, and the county needs to buy in and support us through this process and really facilitate it. Can you take a look at it? And so I did. It seemed like it made sense, and I said, yeah, I'm happy to support it, and off we went. So the last phase of completion to get them going on that SIP program happened just yesterday at our commissioner's meeting, where we had to have agreements with the affected taxing districts in order to talk about how we're going to distribute the funds that come in from that program. And I worked with Riddle Rural Fire Department and Winston-Dillard Fire Department to come up with agreements between them and the county to talk about the disbursement of funds. And ideally, I think we came up with an agreement that's going to really help everyone in the county, including the folks that they serve within their district. And they were great to work with. It was the first time Douglas County's ever participated in this program. So there was a few bumps in the road for us to get it figured out. And it was a contentious negotiation for a little bit until we kind of got everybody in the room together to talk about it, and then everyone sort of understood, and they were great to work with. The fire district boards of Riddle and Winston-Dillard and Fire District 2 made up of some really great people who want to do the best for their constituents also. It was a great program, and I'm looking forward to that investment. We're looking at about $700 million worth of investment total, about $650 million of that planned in Douglas County between Riddle and Dillard, and then about $50 million of that over in Coos County.
And I know when that was announced, that was a really big deal, just, you know, looking at the future of the company in this area.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a neat thing because they've made significant investments elsewhere in the country, which has made folks that have been around this area for a long time sort of question their loyalty to their roots. And this is should answer that question. It's a significant investment right here in Douglas County where they started. It's going to continue to make Douglas County's economy stronger, and it's going to provide a new product into the wood products industry that they currently don't manufacture, which I think is going to make them more relevant in the finished goods in market. It's going to be exciting, and it's the largest infrastructure investment in manufacturing in the state of Oregon's history. So that's a pretty significant accomplishment. We're very grateful for Roseburg Forest Products to continue to make that type of investment in our community.
About a minute left. Talk about the importance of the county government working with employers to help them continue and thrive.
Yeah, you know, if we weren't willing to invest alongside of them, meaning that we're going to take some significant, there's some tax deferments, right? So there's property tax revenues that the county is going to miss out on for 15 years. If we weren't willing to make that investment in them, it wouldn't pencil for them to make this investment. So that's just one example. But the county certainly has a role to play from land use regulations and our interpretations and our trying to help people get what they want to get done to help grow small business.
All right, Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.